They're running out of the city, and what does Lot's wife do? She turns around and she looks back. She looks back because that was her life. That was something she was attached to. She was attached to the world. She was tempted to look back, and when she did, she ignored God's warning. So we always need to keep in mind that the world will tempt us. The world will throw everything it can at us through the system, through the appetites that it endorses, through the TV commercials, through advertising, through the product placement at the grocery store. It's all kinds of stuff that the world will throw at us. And we are going to be tempted by that. The temptation, again, is not the sin. Now, I said normally not the sin. If you're going to repeatedly expose yourself intentionally to the same temptation, that can be a sin, okay? But I'm talking about the temptation that just kind of hits you out of the blue. We'll talk about what we're going to do with temptation in a few minutes. But just the fact that you are tempted is not the sin. But we have to respond correctly. We have to deal with that temptation. So the first one is the world. The second one is our flesh. You know, a lot of people want to blame the devil for all temptation in the world. No, that's not what the Bible teaches. Some people actually want to blame God for the temptation. That's definitely not what the Bible teaches. All right? Here's what the Bible teaches in James 1:14. But each one, that's each one of us, is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. When he is drawn away by his own or her own desires and enticed. So we have a built-in enemy, that's us, our flesh, that's what the Bible calls it, and we get influenced by our flesh. We get tempted by our flesh. Sometimes we'll get these irresistible cravings. We have no explanation for what they are. It's temptation. Our flesh wants what it wants. Think about David and Bathsheba. You know, most people think David's problem started when he was looking at Bathsheba. It actually started before. His first temptation was, you know, I know it's when I'm supposed to be off in battle, but I don't want to go. I'm going to be a little lazy this year. I'm not going to go to battle like the king, so I'm going to stay and I'm going to rest. The Bible tells us he was sleeping during the day when he should have been off fighting, leading his men. He was sleeping during the day and he decided to get up, walk out on his balcony, and there he saw Bathsheba bathing next door. Then he lingered and he watched. Okay? That's where sin took root. But that was a desire of the flesh. That was his own flesh causing him to desire Bathsheba. So we can't always blame the devil, but he is the third source of our temptation. And we'll see this in just a minute when we read Matthew chapter 4. He's called in Matthew chapter 4 the tempter. That's what he does. Right? We know Satan attacks people. If you remember the story, Jesus told Peter, Satan has desired to sift you, but I have prayed for you that when you return, you may strengthen the brethren. Jesus knew Satan was going to attack Peter. He told him. But he didn't say, I'm going to stop the attack. What did he say? But I have prayed for you so that when you return, when you go through this temptation, when you come out triumphant, you can strengthen the brethren. That's what we're supposed to do with temptation. But those are the only three sources. And if you want to sit here and think about just for a second, what tempts you, it's going to fall in one of those three categories. That's why the Bible can say there is no temptation that has overtaken you except which is common to man. It's either going to be the world is tempting you, your own flesh is tempting you, or it's going to be the devil. One of those three. So now the key is, how do we respond to this temptation so that we can triumph over that temptation? Well, the first thing that we're going to do is we're going to know and use Scripture. This is number one on the list for a huge reason. It is the first step that you have to take in order to resist temptation, to overcome temptation. And turn to Matthew chapter 4, if you would. I told you that Satan was the tempter. He had the nerve, the audacity to tempt Jesus Christ. Can you imagine that? And it didn't go very well for Satan. And there's a reason, and we're going to see what Jesus did to triumph over temptation. Now, let's talk about something else first. Are you glad that Jesus was tempted? You should be. Why should we be glad that Jesus was tempted but yet did not sin? Because he shows that we can resist temptation. Remember, he was a man. You're going to hear not only was he a man, but he was a real tired and hungry man when the devil attacks. That's when the devil will attack, by the way. He usually does not attack us when we're feeling just strong, where we're all pumped up. He's going to wait till we're down. You heard that expression, kick them when they're down? You know, that's when he's going to attack. And another thing, he's going to attack where we're weak. So we'll talk about this in a second, but if you know an area where you're weak, you want to find this scripture, you want to find the scripture that relates to it, post it on your fridge, put it on your phone, do something where you're constantly reminded of the scripture, because the first weapon to stand against these sources of temptation is to know and use scripture. Here's what he says, Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 11. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, think about that, fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, afterwards he was hungry. Now when the tempter came to him, he said, "If you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread." But he answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." Well, that didn't work. So the devil then took him up into the holy city, set him on the pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone." Jesus said to him, "It is written again, you shall not tempt the Lord your God." Again, the devil took him up on an exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, "All these things I will give you if you will fall down and worship me." Then Jesus said to him, "Away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve." Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered to him. Did you see how Jesus rebuffed the temptation of the devil each of those three times? It is written. It is written. It is written. And Jesus knows the scripture. And that's what we've got to be able to do. We need to be able to know the scripture well enough that when that temptation comes, zing, here it comes, we can use it to swat away those birds before they nest in our hair. For it is written, I shall not do this. For it is written, don't worship other things, don't have idols. Whatever it is that is your weakness, find those verses and be ready to throw them out. It is written. Now you think Jesus, 40 days, this is the thing we got to remember, he's fully human. 40 days of fasting. Is he tired and hungry? Oh yeah. Why didn't the devil come to him on day one? Because he was strong. The devil thought, I'll wait. I'll wait till he wears down. I'll wait till he's just at the end of his rope, and then I'm going to come forward. Now, let me ask you this. Would it have been wrong for Jesus to call forth bread? No. The devil's temptation is always going to be to get something that you want in a non-godly way. That's the key. We can drive by the auto dealership, find my Ford Mustang, and I can say, you know what? I'm going to go work for that Mustang for a month. or whatever, and I'm going to go buy that Mustang. Perfectly okay. Or, you know, I really want that Mustang. How about if I just cheat on my taxes this 1 year, don't pay the taxes, and I'll go buy the Mustang? Wrong, right? So there's a godly way to do things. There's an ungodly way to do things. And Satan is always going to offer us the non-godly way to do things. And that's what he did with Jesus. Let's go back. Could Jesus have made the bread? Absolutely. Would the angels have taken care of Jesus if he had thrown himself off the temple? Well, sure. Okay. He tells Jesus, this is the one that blows me away. I will give you all these kingdoms. Whose kingdoms are they in the first place? They're God's. They're God's kingdoms. Now, Satan was ruling them right now. He was ruling them then. But he tells Jesus, oh, I can give you all this. And Jesus could have just said, buddy, there's a plan for this. It's God's plan. Get away from me. He said it a little bit fancier than that. But that's what he's saying. He says, look, you shall worship the Lord your God only. I am not going to bow down to you. So he was offering Jesus a way to get something outside of God's plan. And again, that's what most of your temptation is going to be. It's going to be a really pretty looking piece of cheese that you want to go get because it's easy to get. Hey, somebody left that piece of cheese out for me, right? Wasn't that nice of these homeowners? No, it wasn't nice of those homeowners because I take that cheese, I'm trapped. I do any of those ungodly things to get what I want, I'm trapped. Anybody ever done that? You don't have to raise your hand, but if you have, you know how trapping it is. And you know, usually right after you take the step, I shouldn't have done that. You know, then you start trying to backpedal and dig your way out. But that's the first step to stand against these three enemies, the world, the flesh, and the devil. You have to know and use Scripture. Doesn't do you any good just to know it either. You got to be ready to use it, to claim it, and to use it as part of your battleware. We'll get to that. All right, the second one, we have to exercise faith. You know, the world system is not our friend, like I told you. 1 John says, don't love the world, neither the things in it. Any man that loves the world doesn't love God. If your first priority is the world, or your first priority is yourself, or your first priority is the devil, then you don't love God the way you're supposed to love God. And the faith that he's talking about is the faith that will overcome the world. This verse is kind of worded odd, but listen, 1 John 5:4, it says, for whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. You could translate it accurately like this. Through our faith in God, we overcome the world. And that's the way we do overcome the world. Who overcomes the world? Jesus Christ does, right? He says, don't worry about the things of the world. I have overcome the world. We put our faith in Jesus Christ. We put our faith in Him, and we know that He is able to help us overcome any of this temptation that we experience. So we have to have faith. So when you get tempted and you've got a faith challenge, what are you going to do? You're going to run to that Scripture. Because your faith is in the accuracy of that Scripture, in the trustworthiness of that Scripture, the power of that Scripture. You're going to run back to use that Scripture. You're going to run back to learn that Scripture. And you're going to exercise your faith in God, believing that that Scripture will be your defense. The Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So as you start to develop your faith, all those verses you're learning, all those verses you're putting into your head are going to resonate. They're going to start coming out, and they're going to come out when you need them most. All right? So we've got to know and use Scripture. We've got to exercise our faith. And the third one is we have to be willing to flee. All right? How many of you, well, I'm not going to flee. I'm tough. I can take this. No, Again, that's the world's way of responding to temptation, which usually means you're going to lose. We have to be willing to flee. I just put like five of these together, but let me go through these. 1 Corinthians 6:18 says, flee sexual immorality. 1 Timothy 6:9, a little bit longer, says, but those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and harmful lusts which drown them in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But you, O man of God, flee these things and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and gentleness. 1 Corinthians 10:14, we read earlier, says, therefore, my beloved, flee from idolatry. 2 Timothy 2 tells us, flee also youthful lust, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace. So we are told to flee temptation, run away. You think, that's not very manly. It's not very rugged individualist like we are supposed to be in this country, right? But it's the smartest thing to do. How do we know it's the smartest thing to do? Because God tells us to do it. If you flee temptation, are you going to be around the temptation anymore? No, not right then. And here's the thing. I didn't just put flee. I put be willing to flee. Sometimes we have a bad habit of, how to say this, wallowing in the temptation. We stay in the temptation a little too long. We don't flee it, right? We keep going back to that same TV program that arouses our flesh. We keep going back to the website that arouses our flesh. We keep hanging around the people that are worldly, that entice us to do things that are anti-scriptural with our money. We keep doing things that we know the devil's tempting us with, but we just don't flee. And you see, it's up here because you got to want to flee to flee. If it's something that is so enticing to you, those two words, snare and trap, one of them is a fishing reference. The other one is a hunting reference, and it's this. It's this box that they used to set up to catch rabbits. Rabbit goes in, knocks that stick down, boom, box comes down. You're trapped. That's what those two words mean. It's a fishing lure and a box trap. That's what temptation does to us. And we have to be willing to see the cheese on that mouse trap and go opposite 180 degrees. We got to be willing to turn and run from that temptation and not think, oh, I'm okay, I can handle this. That's where we talked about pride again Wednesday night before we did the one chip challenge. That's where we get in trouble. We get in trouble when we think, I got this, because we don't have it. Without God being in our response, we do not have it. So we have to be willing to flee, and then we have to flee. Now, how are we going to be willing to flee? Because we're going to know our scripture. We're going to know we're supposed to be away from it. We're going to have faith that by fleeing, by taking God's command and putting it into practice, that He will honor that and that we will be able to triumph over the temptation. And the last thing, we have to resist the devil. This one's real clear. James 4:7 says, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. And he will flee from you. Put the emphasis under that he. But there's two parts of that. The first one said, submit yourself to God. You have to do that first. You have to be submissive and obedient to God, because you're not going to do any of these other things if you're not. And then when you do, when you submit yourself to God and you resist the devil, just like Jesus resisted the devil, he's going to flee. How do you resist the devil? You pull up all of this scripture. Turn to Ephesians 6, if you would, while we're talking. Ephesians 6, verse 10. You go ahead and you prep yourself to resist the devil. Again, you know where your problems are. You know, if I were going to attack Parks, what would I do? You can answer that question. You can answer that question for yourself. And that's where Satan's going to come. You can be ready. God gives us armor to put on every single day for the sole purpose of resisting the devil. Ephesians 6:10. Let's read to verse, I think it's 18. Verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God. Why? That you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you may be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end, with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. So Paul lays out some really important battle armor with the sole purpose that we may be able to stand against the schemes and the wiles of the devil. Those little fiery darts he's talking about, one of those fiery darts is temptation. The devil knows if he can tempt you and get you off of God's path, he weakens your testimony, he weakens your witness, and he weakens your fellowship with God. Can he have you? If you are a child of God, can the devil have you? No. But he can make your life not as rich and as full as it would be if you didn't allow the temptation to become sin. So we need to be prepared. That armor needs to come on every single day. And we need to understand what it represents. Multiple times in there, he says that I want you to put this armor on so you will be able to stand. He doesn't say advance. He says stand. And he's really just talking about being able to withstand the temptation and all these schemes that come upon you. And he says, take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. So you're going to take that word. It's the only offensive weapon that you're given in all of that armor. You're going to take that sword, which is the Word of God, and you're going to use it the way Jesus used it. He's our example. He's our example in all kinds of things, but he's our example in how to resist the devil, how to triumph over temptation. He knew and he used Scripture. He exercised his faith. He didn't care. He didn't need to flee, but he resisted the devil. That's how we do it. Can we be as successful as Jesus? Yes, we can. Why? Because we are His child now. We have His mind once we become children of God. Are we going to be able to knock it out every single time? Probably not. But shouldn't that be our goal? Shouldn't it be our goal to triumph over temptation every single time? It should. And the bottom line is why? The reason it should be our goal every time is because it brings glory to God. When we triumph over the devil, God is glorified because we're going to be relying solely on Him to triumph. It's not going to be this, well, look what I did. We're not going to say that. We're going to say, thank you, Jesus, for bringing that scripture to my head. Thank you for giving me the escape Remember, our primary reading today said he's never going to let you be exposed to a temptation where he has also not given you a way of escape. So every single time you're tempted, you have a choice. I'm going to succumb to the temptation, or I'm going to escape. Which one are you going to choose? All right, last. Here we come. Triumphing over temptation begins with accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You cannot consistently triumph over temptation if you are not a child of God. You may defer punishment. You may, quote, get away with it for a while, but you're not going to triumph over it. To become a victor over temptation, you simply need to be in Jesus. Jesus is the one that overcame all temptation and enables us to do that. So if you're not a child of God today and you want to beat temptation, there's only one way, and that is to say, Jesus, I know I am a sinner. I need you. I confess you as Lord and Savior. Come into my life. He'll come into your life. Life may not get easier, but you're going to have somebody with you that can walk you through it and help you through every stage. And if you already are a child of God and you're having trouble with temptation, put these plans into action. These are plans the Bible gives us. They're real clear instructions. It's all talked about a couple weeks ago. They're easy. They are not simple sometimes, but they're easy. Just do them and watch how God will respond to you and to that temptation you're facing when you rely on Scripture, you put your faith in Him, you actually flee temptation, and you resist the devil. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for Jesus. We thank you for the lessons that He taught us, and we thank you that He was fully a human man. Lord, we have trouble understanding that sometimes, but He was tempted in all ways. He was tired. He was hungry. Lord, we can relate to that. And we can relate to being tempted too, God. We can relate to what He was going through when He was hungry. He wanted that bread. And Lord, we see that He was able to resist it through Your power, through relying on You, through trusting in You, through understanding Your Word, and resisting the devil. Lord, we just ask that You would empower us to do that whenever temptation comes our way. Lord, we thank You that temptation's not a sin. We feel guilty about that sometimes, but Lord, if we're not bringing it on ourselves, then it's not. And we know it's not because Jesus was tempted too, but He sinned not. Lord, we ask that You would get us to that point where we could see temptation, turn around and run from it, and sin not. We thank You that all condemnation has left those who are children of God. When we believe in Your Son and put our trust in Him, we become Your children, and there is now no condemnation against us. Lord, we thank You for that. We thank You for the assurances that You've given us. And Lord, if you're asking anybody here today for a response, Lord, I pray that they would make it in some way. And this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. Oh, yeah.